Today on Family Talk.
Is it really okay to discipline kids? If so, what kind of discipline should you use? On today's edition of Family Talk, Dr. James Dobson and Dr. Meg Meeker weigh in on the fundamentals of child discipline. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, and today we're going to do something unique. A few weeks ago, child-rearing experts Dr. James Dobson and Dr. Meg Meeker went into the studio and recorded several broadcasts on how to effectively raise your children. The topic of this particular program is how to discipline your child so that they grow up to become successful adults. And in a moment, we'll get to that conversation. But first, let me share with you about an exciting opportunity that we currently have available. There is nothing like being loved unconditionally and intimately, decade after decade, by someone who promises to be there with you for the rest of your days. And in my dad's book, Love for a Lifetime, he shares the powerful and biblical insights for building a marriage that will not only last, but thrive. And right now, for every donation we receive this month, we'll say thank you by sending you not only the Love for a Lifetime book, but also its corresponding DVD from the brand new Building a Family Legacy film series. To stand with Family Talk on behalf of families, give today at the Donate tab at drjamesdobson.org or call us 877-732-6825. Let's get to the program now. Here's my dad and Dr. Meg Meeker as they begin the program on today's edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Dr. Dobson, what an honor and a privilege it is to be in the studio with you, sitting across from you, looking at you, and having the opportunity to look at you and peer inside that magnificent brain of yours that God gave you and pull out some information that I know is going to help me as a mother and a grandmother, but help so many millions of our listeners out there who have children, who love the Lord, who are trying so hard to do what's right and good for their children, but who feel discouraged. So we're going to talk about discipline today, and that's really what got you going, if you will, as an international figure, is disciplining children. Is that right? With your very first book. So if we can, let's talk about the inception of that journey for you. You wrote Dare to Discipline, and it came out the day you got Ryan came home from the hospital, and it changed your life. How?
Well, the late 60s were a crazy time in America. I think we're close to another one now.
Yes.
But I was at USC School of Medicine, and I was just amazed at the lack of authority even in medical school. These students would challenge the doctors. They knew nothing about nothing, you know. They were,
medical students don't know much.
Think they do.
Yes.
But then they had the temerity to take on everybody. Well, if it was going on there, I'm telling you, it was going on throughout the university system. There was just such a lack of respect for anything traditional. Everybody was questioning even whether God was dead or not. And Time magazine had a statement that God was dead. And that was 1967. And, of course, drugs were everywhere.
Vietnam War.
Absolutely. Yeah. There was such anger in the streets. And there was a sexual revolution. Kind of like what we're seeing today. It looks sort of like we have cycled back to a lot of that.
I think we have. And as a matter of fact, the fact that we're doing this show right now is providential, because if we ever needed a book like Dare to Discipline, it's today. We needed it back then. But so much of what you're describing is exactly what we're seeing today. So is it fair to say you wrote Dare to Discipline as much as a social statement?
That's really true. People didn't realize that. I mean, Dare to Discipline captured them with its title. But I really set out to write a statement about what happens when you don't have respect for authority in the culture. What happens when parents don't know how to train and guide and teach respect in the home? It creates chaos. So that's what the book set out to be, and that's what it was until I revised it. The culture changed a little bit, and I came back and wrote the new Dare to Discipline. And this one is much less of a social statement. Mm-hmm. It's more a how-to about discipline. But its predecessor was really about, we're in a mess, and our children are not getting what they need, and we better stand up to them and lead them, or they will lead us by the nose.
Exactly. And if they do that, the culture turns upside down.
And it did.
And it did.
So a lot of the misunderstanding about child rearing in the early 70s, which I wrote about, those people are grandparents today, and some of them are beginning to see we made a big mistake down there. There was a book, Meg, that I've talked about before through the years. You know who Michael Medved is?
Yes.
He has his own television
yes.
show, and he's a commentator on movies and so on.
Yes.
Well, his first book was written with a co-author, and it was called What Really Happened to the Class of 1965.
Mm.
It's a fascinating book because Time magazine at that time had color pictures of about 50 high school seniors that lived in Civic Palisades, which is a very upscale, beachy neighborhood mm-hmm. in Southern California. And many of their parents were celebrities. Many of them were movie stars. And Time magazine wrote about this class and said they were golden kids going into a golden future.
Mm-hmm.
That was their prediction for this class of 1965. Well, about 5 years later, Michael Medved.
That's the book he wrote with David Walachinsky.
Yeah. Came along and analyzed what did really happen to the class of 1965. Did it turn out like the prediction of Time magazine? The truth of the matter is, and this was their conclusion, what they discovered is that was the saddest graduating class in the history of the United States.
Wow.
Because they got caught up in all of those late 60s craziness. Most of them were on drugs. They were, you know, having sex with everybody. Sexually transmitted disease was getting started. And they were in prison, a lot of them. And their parents bailed them out.
Right.
The parents didn't know what to do with them. And they turned out to have broken families, broken homes. They had children that were an absolute mess. Mm-hmm. That class, what really happened to the class of 65, was disaster. If you find people today who were of that era, 65, 66, ask them how their early adult life was for them.
Right.
And they'll tell you they really got into trouble.
You know, it's so interesting because the rebellious nature is such a strong part of the human heart. And really what you're talking about is they rebelled. They said, we're going to live life the way we want to live it. We're going to do what we want. We're going to protest the Vietnam War. We're going to not pay any attention to our parents. And when parents say, well, okay, that's your choice, do what you want, and we'll just kind of bail you out, life just doesn't go anywhere good. It just goes darker and darker. And we're really seeing that a lot of that now. And what I find happening in a lot of the colleges across the country from some of the patients that come back from college and talk to me is that they put a stamp of honor on a rebellious spirit.
Yeah.
Your parents are wrong. They don't understand. Leaders don't understand. We're going to, you know, you see that now with the, you know, this generation of young people coming out of college, a real sense that conservatism is stupid. Those who say there's a right and a wrong and a truth and lies are wrong. But it really comes down to a rebellious spirit that if somebody like a parent doesn't stand up and challenge and say no, they're going to self-destruct. And that's really what Michael was talking about in his book, wasn't he? Self-destruction.
Absolutely. And, you know, as I look around today, I really do see a return to that. And those who throw over the fundamentals of the Judeo-Christian system
yes.
of values, It only takes them about 6 weeks to completely mess up their lives. And that is how. Look here in Colorado, man. Even in the worst of the late 60s, marijuana was used, but it wasn't legal. And now it is not only legal, that's all they talk about in Colorado. You hear it everywhere.
One of the things that concerns me most is that you talk about the need for Judeo-Christian principles in the home and the need for it in the society, and I wholeheartedly agree with you. One of the things that I think has happened in the past 10 or 15 years, primarily by the media, is that they have stigmatized Judeo-Christian values as stupid, ignorant. People who have those are narrow-minded bullies. What do you say to listeners out there who are buying into that? That's what college professors will say, too. Yeah. Well, if you're a Christian or you're not open to everything or you have a belief system that is ironclad, something's wrong with you. What do you say to that listener who may feel like that or that college student who may feel that way?
Those that we're talking to right
yes,
now?
Yes.
Yeah. There's a saying that I think applies here. You will either be ruled by the rudder or the rock. That's the way life is. There's a reason why the scripture tells you there are boundaries. There are rights and there are wrongs. And you need to understand something called sin, which has become very unpopular in many churches.
In churches, it's the ugly S word. Yeah. Nobody wants to talk about sin. And I don't know if preachers feel bullied or whatever, but
it's
still
true,
right.
Meg, and you know it, that the wages of sin is death. That's where it leads. And if you just get out there and say, I will have my own way, and I'm stiff-necked, and I'm not going to pay attention to any boundaries, it'll destroy you. And that's why we feel so strongly that the message of Dare to Discipline is still valid. In other words, if you as a parent don't rein in that will, I honestly believe that the will, that determination to have my own way, is the essence of original sin. That's what happened in the garden. You know, the Lord said, don't eat of this fruit in the center of the garden. And Eve said, I will do it. And she offers it to Adam, and he says, I know God said no, but I will. I will have it because I want to. That is what original sin. Now, I'm not a theologian, as you know, but I think that's it. When you look at God and you clench your fist and you tell him, stay out of my life. I'm going to do what I want to do. Boy, there are consequences in this life and in the life to come.
You self-destruct. And what really you're talking about is exactly what you saw in those medical students, that fist up to authority. I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to have it my way. And that's what Michael Medved was writing about as well. So in Dare to Discipline, you saw a cultural phenomenon and you said, I want to respond to this and help the family, help parents fight against this, bring some Judeo-Christian values into their homes, discipline their children in a very specific way. And that's what you wrote about in Dare to Discipline.
It is what I wrote about, and it's very easy from someone who doesn't understand these principles to see this as harsh. Well, you're a big grown-up, and you're telling this little kid that he's got to mind, and if he doesn't, he faces the consequences with discipline. To feel that you're beating down this child, I'm telling you, it's the best thing you can do for him. Mm-hmm. It's the best thing to teach him that there's right and wrong. I used to tell my kids a little story that my mother told me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a simple little thing, maybe simplistic, I don't know. But when I was a little boy, she said, you know, there was a mother bird, and she laid an egg, and she had a little bird. And he was in the nest, and this mother bird tried to teach him the importance of staying in the nest. And that he decided there's a big world out there, and I think I will go for it. And so he jumped out of the nest, and a cat got him. Oh. And my eyes were big. And then she said, I will tell you what's right and wrong. I'll tell you, I will yell at you if you go into a street because you could get run over there. You have to mind me because I love you and I don't want you to fall out of the nest before you have the wings to fly. Man, she got through to me.
Boy, what a beautiful story. You know, it's the epitome of love, isn't it? Setting up, I tell parents, setting up fences around your child, telling them what the safe zone is and the boundaries. Let's talk about the difference between discipline and punishment. Many parents feel discipline has a negative connotation, but it really shouldn't, should it?
No. The word discipline refers to a learner. When you discipline someone, you're teaching them. And a disciple comes from the word discipline. And it's done for the child, not to the child. It may involve something unpleasant for the child.
Yes.
Like sitting on a chair or sometimes a little swat or two. Mm-hmm. Again, without being abusive, I don't recommend that. But, you know, it's something that I've said for years that I think has been helpful to parents, Meg, is understanding the difference between childish irresponsibility and willful defiance.
Yes.
That those are very, very different behaviors.
I love
behaviors.
That distinction. I've never heard anyone ever make that distinction except for you. So explain the difference.
Imagine, well, if a child is at breakfast and he's fooling around, he's being a child, and he kind of wiggles and he hits his milk with his elbow and it goes off on the floor and the mother's got to clean that up. That could make her angry and she could turn on him.
Yes.
But that is not willful defiance. That's childishness.
Yes.
That's childish irresponsibility. He may forget his books and leave them at school. He may lose his bicycle. He may leave your best saw out in the rain and it gets rusty. Those are not acts of willfulness.
Those are childish annoyances.
Yes, and they're inevitable because he's not an adult.
Yes.
Children act that way. And I think the Lord builds that into them because they can't carry the levels of responsibility that you do as an adult. So he does these silly things. And when he does, you smile, you say, you know, I told you that you're going to spill that milk. And let's see if we can do it different next time. But you're not having to discipline him in that sense. But when there's a moment that you tell him to do something and he looks you in the eye and he clenches his fist and he grits his teeth and he says, I won't do it. Mm. What are you going to do about it? You had better respond because your leadership and your authority is on the line. And if even, you know, all through childhood, he is able to defy you in that way, you're going to have a wild ride in adolescence because you need to establish the fact that you are boss.
Yeah.
Every child needs a boss. Listen, here at Family Talk, I've been doing this for 37 years now, and I yield to the leadership of the board of directors.
Yes.
Everybody needs a boss.
A boss.
And when you don't have it, and we all need to yield to the boss in heaven.
Yes.
And he will tell you what's right and what's wrong.
Because life doesn't go well for anyone. Even if you're the smartest, most successful, wealthiest, powerful person in the world, you still need a boss. And parenthood is about teaching a child who is a boss. So is it fair to say that willful defiance is direct challenge to your authority as a parent?
Yes.
Versus developmental immaturity?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
They're two different things. And you react differently to them.
Great.
You don't punish a child for acting like a child.
Mm-hmm.
But when that child takes you on, you very likely would and should. You're doing a lot of traveling these days,
I am.
Meg, and so am I. Do you see these little kids in the airport where the parents have no idea how to deal with them? They're throwing temper tantrums, and they're running when they're called, and they're just out of control.
Yes. Life's miserable.
Yeah.
For everybody.
And that's going on.
The parents and me.
That's right. Yes. And it's going on in school, too. Those parents need to know how to deal with that youngster.
Dr. Dobson, my daughter's a teacher and in a private school, in a Christian school, and I know one of her frustrations is that she feels her class gets out of control, but authority as a teacher has been taken away from her.
Yes.
She can't this, she can't that, she can't. And she said it's hard to enjoy the children when you can't bring in some discipline. And this is in a private school. I imagine it's much worse in a public school. And I think that the frustration we feel as parents extends into the classroom too.
You know, Meg, when I was 24 years of age, I taught sixth grade. And when I was 25 and 26, I went to the junior high level. I had 220 students per day that were in my class. I taught science and math. And then I went into high school, and I was a counselor in high school. Then I became the supervisor of psychological services. I was finishing school, and then I went from there to the hospital. But I would not want to be a teacher if I didn't have the ability to control those kids. Otherwise, with an ordinary classroom, you may have 40 kids, and if they don't want to do what you tell them to do, I'm telling you, you got a problem on your hands. And I feel sorry for today's teachers. Mm-hmm. They get a lot of criticism, but the truth of the matter is what's going on in the homes of those kids that they represent is very difficult for a teacher to compensate for.
Yes,
so,
they can't.
It really is unfortunate that public schools or the culture has made it impossible for a teacher to say, you're not going to do that. And if you do, you're not going to stay in my class.
Right, right.
And the principals backed me up in those days. And I loved the kids. I'm telling you, Meg, I loved those children. And I sometimes missed them on weekends, which my wife Shirley never understood. I loved those kids. And when I left for the last time and I got in my car to leave and I was going to USC, I turned around and looked, and there were about 20 kids standing on the sidewalk, and they were all crying. Oh. The children respond to that kind of discipline.
And authority.
It says authority. Love to them.
Dr. Dobson, this has been so fabulous, and I'm just loving this. But we're going to have to continue our chat on Dare to Discipline tomorrow because we just have far too much material to cover.
We got a lot to share. You raised how many kids?
Four.
And you're a mama, and you're a pediatrician.
And a grandmother.
You know what I'm talking about here, don't you?
I do. That's why I'm just soaking it all up. So great. I look forward to our discussion tomorrow. Thank you so much.
Sounds good.
Well, I know that this has been a very helpful and informative program for all the parents listening today. And I know that I took away several ideas on how I can more intentionally raise children who become great adults. We've been listening to the first part of a conversation between my dad, Dr. James Dobson, and our co-host, Dr. Meg Meeker, here on Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, and before we go today, I want to remind you not to forget to take advantage of the opportunity I mentioned at the top of the program. Any donation we receive this month, you'll receive my dad's book, Love for a Lifetime, and the corresponding DVD from our Building a Family Legacy film series. Donate online at drjamesdobson.org or by calling us at 877-732-6825. Coming up next time, the conclusion of this program on the fundamentals of child discipline with Dr. James Dobson and Dr. Meg Meeker. This is Ryan Dobson saying God bless, thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next time for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.
Dr. James Dobson wants to send you a copy of an important book that is reframing the abortion issue in our country called Abortion, the Ultimate Exploitation of Women. Author Brian E. Fisher brings men face-to-face with a part they've played in the legalization of abortion in America and issues a clarion call to help bring an end to the world's most grievous Holocaust. This game-changing book also shows how ending abortion in America would not just benefit the millions of children who lose their lives each year, it would be an enormous step forward for women in their quest for equal rights and equal protection. This eye-opening resource is our gift to thank you for your donation of $50 or more today. Call Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk to request your copy at 877-732-6825 or visit our website, drjamesdobson.org.
Hello, everyone. I'm James Dobson. For those of you who enjoy our radio program, Family Talk, I have some good news. When you're not able to hear Family Talk on your favorite Christian radio station, you can catch us by downloading the new Family Talk mobile app. You can not only use the app to hear our broadcast 24 hours a day, but you can view video commentaries or get answers to your family-related questions with our Solid Answers tool. They're all free and available on Android, iPhone, and iPad devices. I hope you'll visit your app marketplace to download it today. And thanks for listening to Family Talk.